Welcome to the Layup Lines podcast. I'm Seth Horton, joined always by my co-host, Michael, the Chap Daddy Chapman, and the new, right?
Yeah, pretty new.
The pretty new voice of Union Men's Basketball, and also MLB insider, Logan Whaley.
Hey guys, long time listener, first time I guess talking on the show. I'm excited to be here.
We're glad to have you, Logan.
Yeah.
All right.
So today we're going to get into playoff baseball. Logan is going to rant about college football and his Tennessee Volunteers for a little bit. And then Logan is an insider on Union women's basketball. He knows the ins and outs of that program. So we'll preview the season a little bit, get started. Bulldog Madness is next Tuesday. So we'll get into that a little bit.
But right now what's important is that the Dodgers are up 7 on the Cubs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a game that honestly surprised me at Wrigley too. You know, Theo Epstein, you know, the owner of the Cubs, did it before. He came back from 3 games down when he was the GM of the Red Sox and beat the Yankees in the ALCS. So it kind of surprised me that one, the Cubs got down 3. But honestly, the Cubs' whole approach this season has been bend, don't break, try to advance to the next round. And honestly, they don't have that dominant closer in Aroldis Chapman anymore. So their bullpen's been kind of shaky, not going to lie. Wade Davis is a very, very capable closer.
Yeah, he had a really good night last night to win the fourth game.
He did.
So the Cubs come back from this, 7 down, top of the fourth, win the series.
Well, they've still got to win 2 more games after this.
I am completely aware of that. They come back, win the series. Greatest team ever?
I don't think so. I think it'll take a lot for the Dodgers to get beat. They made plenty of moves, getting Yu Darvish as an example to really contend for the World Series. I predicted around midseason that it would be a Dodgers Astros World Series, and I think I'm still going to hold to that prediction, even though the Astros are down 3-2 right now.
Yeah, they're going back home
for
the last 2 games.
Yep, and Yankees and Astros haven't lost at home this entire postseason, so. I think that's a pretty good storyline to keep in mind. Astros acquiring Verlander, I think, has been absolutely huge for them. And so this has been a very entertaining postseason because
it really has.
No one's really emerged as a clear favorite. I know the Dodgers had a crazy regular season, but they really cooled down the stretch.
They were terrible in September.
Honestly, yeah. And then to come here in October, they're getting hot at the right time, and I think, you know, the 7-0 lead over the Cubs now, I think it's pretty much settled that they're going to go to the World Series. But, you know, it's very possible that the next Layup Line podcast will come out next week, and I could be looking very foolish with that statement, and the Cubs could come up with possibly the greatest miracle in postseason history. So, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. If there's any team that could do it at this point, it's the Cubs.
I agree.
After 108 years of virtual irrelevance, and then winning the World Series last year. I mean, they seem like if they come back and win this, obviously they're the new team of destiny. The Yankees lose that title entirely.
Oh, I agree. The Cubs are, in terms of talent, probably the most talented team in baseball.
I agree.
If you look at it, Chris Bryant's really struggled this season, and honestly, it's not expected. Rizzo's been a guy who I think is capable of a breakout game just any second. The middle infield's pretty good as well. So I don't think the lineup is of concern at all, I think. And even with starting pitching, I mean, John Lester, he's a guy that could go out, I think, and shut down any team on any given night. Same with Arrieta and Hendricks last postseason. Who can forget what he did last postseason as well? Drawing Greg Maddux comparisons, which, I mean, if you look
can't
at him,
can't get higher praise than that.
Oh yeah, Greg Maddux, one of the most underappreciated pitchers in baseball. And you know, I look at it, starting pitching's fine, lineup's fine. Just it's the bullpen that's been the question mark. And I think you know, if the starting pitching is not up to par like it seems to be in tonight's game, already down 7-0, then it's a pretty large hole to climb out of.
Yeah.
So let's say the Cubs somehow don't turn this around. Just like freak accidents all over the field, and the Cubs just...
They lose this game.
They just lose this game. How does the rest of the postseason shake out?
I think you look at this, if the Dodgers come out with a sweep and they make it to the World Series, they're going to have, you know, considerable rest, so to speak, because the Yankees and Astros, it's a highly competitive series, high intensity. Whoever wins that, they're going to be emotionally drained. And I think you look at the Cubs coming off of the Nationals series, went to five games. That fifth game was the best worst game I think I've ever seen. Multiple pitchers being used, starters coming out of the bullpen.
Yeah, and, I don't know how many pitchers were used in that game. It was ridiculous.
Might have set a record. I don't know. But I mean, honestly, I think the Cubs, they shot themselves in the foot this series. And really, this postseason, they've walked so many guys. And, you know, even that game five against the Nationals, I mean, walked so many guys. I live, my roommate, he's a Cubs fan. Alex Northcutt, who's, the other voice of the Union Bulldogs, he's a Cubs fan as well. And I tell you what, they got so nervous that game. Alex, he's my next door neighbor, and I'm pretty sure I heard noises from that room all night. And so the Cubs fans, they've waited a long time to see a world champion team. And hey, no shame in losing to the Dodgers in the NLCS.
Oh, yeah.
But
absolutely,
I believe the Dodgers have a very real shot of winning the World Series. And hey, if the Yankees make it, I think it's the World Series matchup that the MLB wants.
Yeah.
So right now the Dodgers are having one heck of a night just hitting. So, oh my gosh, Hernandez is batting .429 right now. Puig is .375. Bellinger's .350. Turner's .375. Taylor's .353.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's unreal. Justin Turner's having himself a fine year. He's somebody who really wasn't that great with the Mets. The Dodgers picked him up, and next thing you know, I mean, he has the lumberjack red hair and the bushy beard, and he's really looks the part and he plays the part. He's having himself a great year. And then Bellinger, saved by the Bellinger, if you will, rookie year. I mean, what more can you say about him? If it weren't
for Aaron Judge, this would be one of the best rookie seasons we've ever seen.
Oh yeah, and I would argue that it is, because I think Aaron Judge, you look at him, sure he has the home runs, but he also has the strikeout totals as well.
Yeah.
He's very inconsistent, and I think just because of the name Aaron Judge, the fact that he plays in New York, and his height. I mean, guy is, just freakishly strong and freakishly tall.
Yeah, he literally just stands above everybody else in baseball.
Yeah, and that shot, one thing I love about this Yankees-Astros series is if Judge is on base, especially at second base, he'll stand beside the very, very short Jose Altuve, which, by the way, Jose Altuve.
The two MVP candidates,
yes,
in the AL.
Yes, I believe Jose Altuve is probably the best player in the American League right now. And
I think there's an argument for best player in baseball.
Yes, 100%. And, I know that the big elephant in the room is Mike Trout. But the way Jose Altuve has been playing, especially this postseason, getting on base seemingly every at bat,
And he's hit with power a little bit,
too. Yeah, which is crazy to me because, his frame is not very large. And honestly, for him to have power, I don't even know how to describe that. I mean, that's God-given skill.
Oh, yeah. So if the Dodgers make it out of – assuming the Dodgers make it out of the NLCS, which they in all likelihood will, who
– The Cubs are a powerhouse to be reckoned with, chap.
Okay, but if the Dodgers make it out of the NLCS, who do you think is the better matchup for them between the Yankees and the Astros?
The Cubs.
I mean, yeah. That's a tough question. Honestly, I think both teams provide interesting matchups. Because you look at the Yankees, I think the Yankees are a little bit weaker in starting pitching. They have Masahiro Tanaka, who, he was dominant last night against the Astros. They have Severino, who's been very good. CC Sabathia, probably one of the best larger pitchers in baseball. I know Bartolo Colon's still around somehow, but CC has been he's having a renaissance year. He really is.
I was shocked the year he had this year.
Yeah, and I mean he's just been very, very good this postseason. But not to mention the Yankees bullpen as well with Chapman and Betances. I mean, that's a two-headed monster right there. If a starter gets through six or seven innings, and I mean, you might as well just call it game over.
Yeah.
The Yankees are a very, very good team, and they're up 3-2, and it's looking likely that they'll make it. But the Astros, Justin Verlander, his second half this year, I mean, ERA in the ones. I mean, just having himself a great second half. He only gets better with age.
Yeah.
He really does.
Like, and a fine wine,
yes,
Justin Verlander.
Yes. And not to mention married to Kate Upton. I mean, how much luckier can you get? I'm not sure if I could say that on the podcast or not, but but anyway.
The second greatest man in America behind Tom Brady.
Oh, don't get me started.
Second greatest living American.
Don't get me started on this. Huge Peyton Manning guy, still the greatest of all time. But anyway. Verlander is he's very good. He's been just what the Astros needed to go along with Dallas Keuchel and McCullers. McCullers had a great start to the season. He's really struggled since then. But if the Astros can just get their starters going, because their bullpen I think is underrated too. When you have Will Harris and Chris Devenski, those guys are solid options out of the bullpen. And not to mention. The Astros in general just have a bright future when you look at Bregman and Correa, Altuve, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean,
Correa and Altuve are two of the best young players in the game.
Easily.
For sure.
That middle infield, just so much potential there. And Altuve is already living up to it. And so I think whoever comes out of that American League Championship Series, I think it will both teams will provide an interesting matchup for the Dodgers.
Okay. Sure. Who wins the series?
I still think the Dodgers win. I think with Kershaw, granted he has struggled in the postseason. That's been the
he's
only.
He's been all right this postseason though.
Yeah, yeah. It's been the only demon in his career. It's been his performance in the postseason. But Kershaw is a guy you can already make a Hall of Fame case for him.
I think he's absolutely a 100%. Hall of Famer right now.
And Kershaw's a guy you can put him out there any given day and he'll turn in a strong outing. And I mean, he's not a guy that it's every 5 days. You can throw him out there every 3 days and I think he'll be just fine. Yu Darvish has been fairly good for the Dodgers as well. And Kenley Jansen, I mean, he's a workhorse, 100%, the best closer in baseball right now, as much as it pains me to say that being a Craig Kimbrel fan, but Jansen is just so good.
Absolutely.
I mean, that start to the season, consecutive strikeouts without a walk. I forget the number it got to, but I mean, he's a guy, hard thrower, throws a cutter, throws a two-seamer, up to 98 miles per hour. I mean, he just consistently fools hitters, and honestly, that's another case where if your starter can – get through six innings, honestly, you can just turn to Jansen and everything
absolutely.
Will be fine.
He can go deep into, like, he can go two or three innings potentially and not he won't get weaker in that 2 to 3 inning span. You might have to sit him for a day or two, but
I know the Dodgers won't leave him in the bullpen, unlike certain closers there, chap. The Zach Britton.
We don't have to talk about this.
I know.
I'm still crying over that game.
Hey, I feel your pain because Braves in the division series against the Dodgers a few years ago left Craig Kimbrel in the bullpen, and David Carpenter hangs a breaking ball to Juan Uribe. That pitch just haunts me over and over.
Was that a decisive game?
I believe so. I think that was a game five.
Wow.
Game four or five. It was a later game in the series. But TBS, I remember they cut to Craig Kimbrel in the bullpen, arms folded, looks disappointed, and that was just such a heartbreaker as a Braves fan. I don't think my dad and I were watching it together, and we might have cried together. I don't know. I know not a lot was said.
No, yeah. I completely understand that feeling. Yeah, that last year when we left Zach Britton in the bullpen, and it wasn't just that we left Zach Britton in the bullpen and had, like, Darren O'Day or some, like, quality guy out on the mound.
Right.
We had Ubaldo Jimenez on the mound.
Hey, he was good in 2010
for
the Rockies.
Yeah, he was good 1 year for the Rockies. He was okay for a few years for the Rockies. I mean, obviously your ERA isn't going to be low when you're playing at Coors Field half your games.
Yeah,
but
and had
you know
a no-hitter.
Who else was good for a few years?
Who's that?
Butch Jones.
Oh, yes. Don't get me started here, guys. All right. Well, since we're here.
Yeah. Good segue, Seth.
Don't get me started. Good segue. But.
Yeah, very nice segue there. Yeah, Tennessee is a dumpster fire right now. That's a really hot take. I know. But
hot takes,
pun intended with the whole dumpster fire. Anyway.
Hey.
no, but Butch Jones in the media before the South Carolina game says that it was the best bye week that Tennessee's had in a long time. Okay, cool. I mean, Butch Jones has a tendency of...
To be fair, he didn't say who it was best for.
That's very true. yeah, he also mentioned something about leadership reps and how... I don't even know what the heck a leadership rep is.
They're the champions of life. That's
and
all we know.
With five-star hearts, mind you.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Butch Jones gets on my nerves probably more than any college football coach.
And
ever
Butch
has.
Jones is a genius chap.
I mean, you know, this could be a part of his master plan here to get Alabama to overlook Tennessee this week. But, you know, Tennessee's a 35-point underdog, and it's, I believe, the largest margin that Tennessee's been down. I think that's the largest underdog that Tennessee's ever been.
Let's be honest
that's
here.
Crazy.
Butch Jones' plan for Alabama is the same plan he has for every team that's better than him. Hurt all of their starters, ruin their season.
Yeah.
I think UT has ended the careers of, like, four Georgia running backs.
Hey, pretty much. Butch Jones, dirty player?
I mean, any excuse to get him out of the head coaching position, I'll take it, because a 3-3 season, I mean, honestly, I predicted Tennessee wouldn't be very good this year. No clear quarterback. Garantano was all right, more on the bad side Saturday. Dormady, I mean, I remember
Dormady
Butch Jones.
Dormady is awful.
Yeah, I remember Butch Jones hyping up Dormady as perhaps the next great Tennessee quarterback, better than Josh Dobbs, and absolutely nothing.
Dormady is like the Matt Cassel of college football.
He has time.
Except Matt Cassel actually was in the NFL, and Dormady probably won't.
Right, no.
Yeah.
Dormady is absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
He might
he
be the worst.
He has time to get better.
He might have been the worst starting quarterback in the SEC when he was the starter.
Yeah.
And that's saying something, because the SEC has some pretty
when he lights up Alabama's secondary.
He's not going to be playing in the Alabama game.
No.
Just
way.
Remember, I vouched for him.
Yes. But it's funny, too, because you have one of the best running backs in the SEC in John Kelly. I mean, every time he gets the ball, it feels like it's 8 or 9 yards per carry. And he doesn't get the ball nearly enough, and it's so frustrating to watch as a Tennessee fan, because I mean, not only is the offense so frustrating to watch anyway when you haven't scored in 10 quarters, but to hear Butch Jones and even after the South Carolina game, Butch Jones goes, "We did everything necessary to win this game except score touchdowns."
I mean yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Also, didn't quite get enough field goals. Could have gotten more field goals.
Yeah. Also,
they just didn't score.
Also,
Tennessee's freshman kicker
could have stopped us from scoring.
Very true. Tennessee's freshman kicker, I believe after the first field goal he made, a South Carolina defensive end just bumps into him. And this video is out there on the internet somewhere, but the kicker, who's about, you know, about a whole foot shorter, really scrawny.
Oh yeah, he tried to pick a fight with Dante
Sawyer,
I think.
Yeah, try to pretty much just, I mean, chest bump, like, and it was possibly the funniest image I think I've seen.
He is about that life, Logan.
He is. He is. And honestly, I gained a lot of respect for him after that, because hey, he doesn't back down. You know, and that's that five-star heart that Butch Jones is looking for
Oh my gosh. Five-star hearts don't win football games, Butch Jones.
Hey, that's right. And you know what's funny is that Tennessee actually is the sixth best recruiting class in the nation for next year.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Why are these guys going to Tennessee?
I don't know.
Because they really, really love Butch Jones.
I doubt that's the case.
And they're afraid he'll get fired.
You know, Tennessee, it's a school that sells itself. It really does. And that's why I believe if you fired Butch Jones tomorrow, I think the recruiting class wouldn't really change, especially if you go out and get a big-name coach like Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
You know what else sells itself? Meth. That doesn't make it good.
See, That is a valid point, but I mean Tennessee with the facilities it has in terms of the weight training facility, state of the art. I mean, it's unreal how good the facilities are. That it also brings in the most revenue out of any team in the SEC. That's according to last year's stats. It's honestly a program that before Butch Jones was pretty prestigious. And Butch Jones, I'll give him credit. He did a good job in stabilizing the program, especially after the godforsaken Derek Dooley and Lane Kiffin era. After that time, that really brought Tennessee down. And Butch Jones did a good job in revitalizing it, but I believe he's taken it as far as it can go. And I think Tennessee absolutely needs a big coach. And honestly, who wouldn't want to coach at Tennessee with the facilities, with a chance to rebuild a once prestigious program? Honestly, if we were fantasizing here, I would love John Gruden to leave his highly prestigious football ESPN job. And
he's got too easy a job now. He's making millions and millions of dollars to work like 35 hours a week.
He does, but in 2012 he was rumored, and he said that he was asked. He said no. He has said no multiple times. But I mean, think about it. He graduated from Tennessee. His wife was a cheerleader at Tennessee. He was in Knoxville this past week.
Yeah.
So let the groomers begin. But I think Chip Kelly's a more likely bet for Tennessee, and that's what I hope.
I like Chip.
Me too. Yeah. Me too.
So switching gears a little bit here, since we're running out of time, I want to get into the women's basketball team here.
Tell us everything you know.
Everything I know. Where do I begin?
If you can fit women's basketball into that, that'd be great.
Yeah.
But everything.
Yes, everything
know.
I know. The Lady Bulldogs, fourth in the Gulf South Conference preseason poll, which I believe is extremely underrating them.
I do too. I think they're the best team in the conference.
I agree. Valdosta is a challenge. West
best
Florida.
Best team in the nation?
Gary Neese told me the other day that he's the radio broadcaster for Union Basketball. He told me that he was predicting a national championship this year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's a real possibility. And I think this is a team that last year, I don't think Mark Campbell will let a year like last year happen 2 years in a row.
There's no way.
Coach Campbell, since 2000, is the second winningest head coach in all of college basketball, including Division I, including UConn, including Gino Auriemma.
Yeah. Gino Auriemma is one, and then Mark Campbell is right there underneath him at two.
Which is amazing. And
John Calipari, over Coach K, over so many great, great coaches. Yep.
And
great coaches.
Well,
none of them compare to Mark Campbell, but
that's what I'm saying, man.
But I love this team this year. This is a team that has depth, especially in the backcourt. I look at Chelsea Shumpert as someone who can come in right away. She's a D1 transfer, played at UT Chattanooga, which is a top 30 program in the country.
She was a starter there, averaged 10 points.
Yeah, and she's not very tall, but she has a lot of speed. She's very speedy, a great point guard, rarely turns the ball over.
Good shot.
Yes, 100%. She went to Paducah Tillman High School in Paducah, Kentucky. I grew up around there. She torched our high school. Also, interesting fact, that Shumpert family in Paducah, pretty legendary. Terry Shumpert is her uncle. Terry Shumpert played in the MLB. You might recognize her cousin, Mookie Betts, an all-star outfielder for the Red Sox. And so she comes from a line of athletes, and
her sister played at Freed Hardeman.
Yep. Tore Union up.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I miss that Freed rivalry. Always brought in a huge crowd. And fan attendance is something that I could go on a whole different tangent about, but I'm going to focus on women's basketball right now. I think Tierra Caldwell, she's going to come in and make an impact as well. She played a couple years ago as a leading scorer on the team. Didn't play last year. I think she'll come back and make an impact right away. Front court depth is something that concerns me, but I believe Union, I think they're a team that can play four guards and be just fine because they're really speedy.
Best front court in the league, I'm telling you
Starting
right now.
Front court, we probably do have the best front
just
court.
Front court in general, Chappie.
Between Caldwell, Bria Gaines, and Sarah Lytle, I'm a fan of Sarah Lytle. She really played well at the end of last season.
Yeah, down the stretch. She was probably the most efficient player on the team down the stretch.
Yeah, and, you know, you look at Bria Gaines, she's a double-double threat every time she's out there.
Absolutely.
Jada Smith, once she gets back from injury, I believe that she'll make a huge impact. You know, one of the, I believe, the top scorer in terms of points scored last season.
Yeah. And she'll be able to switch to the three this year when she's starting, which I think is a more natural position for her style of play.
Yep, I interviewed Coach Campbell. This is an article that's going to run on Cardinal and Cream in the future, but he mentioned that. He mentioned that you know, Jada Smith's going to be able to play the three, and that's a position that she knows a lot more. It's a lot more natural for her. And with Jada Perkins and Chelsea Shumpert in that backcourt, that is going to cause a lot of trouble for opposing teams.
It's going to be one of the fastest fast breaks in the country.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Jada Perkins, the freight train, and then Chelsea Shumpert.
And you know, one person I believe is capable of having a breakout season. I believe that Tiffany Reaches. No one talks about her, but she is somebody that I believe will benefit from this new depth that the Lady Bulldogs have, because she is a very, very sharp shooter.
Oh, absolutely.
From the 3-point range. I mean, she is absolutely a knockdown threat. Yeah. And I believe with Shumpert, with Caldwell, I think that's going to take a lot of attention off of her. And I think she'll have a lot of good games this season.
Yeah, she shot a fairly low percentage last year, especially towards the beginning of the year, but she started to bring that number up at the end of last year, and having these new guards on the team is going to help a lot, just taking the coverage away from her, because she shot a lot of shots last year, and just being able to bring that in a little bit and have the other players create the shots for her and then just kicking it out, she's going to be one of the better 3-point threats on the team.
And a couple of other guards I'm excited about too, Emily Beard and Avery Carpenter. They are 3-star recruits out of high school. Emily Beard from right here in Tennessee, from Dixon. She shot, I believe, over 50% from long range last season in high school, which is incredible. Then you look at Avery Carpenter, who played at one of the top high school programs in the country down in Florida. She is somebody who I believe can come in, really Beard and Carpenter, I believe they can come in and make an impact right away. And it's scary to think about when you have, you know, not only Shumpert, not only Jada Perkins, Jada Smith, but then you add in, you know, the 3-star recruits of Emily Beard and Avery Carpenter. This is a team that is scary with backcourt depth, and that is something that was missing last season, 100%. I believe at one point last season, Union had 6 healthy players on the team.
Oh, my gosh.
And that is something that I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're UConn. If you have 6 healthy players on the team, that's going to be tough for anybody to overcome.
And, absolutely.
Coach Campbell, he was really happy and really pleased with his recruiting class. He's really pleased with who he has coming back. And honestly, I think this is a team that will be fun to watch this season. I know that's a superlative that's thrown around a lot with the team, fun to watch. But I really believe that with the speed, with the front court, when it all comes together, I believe that this team will be a contender, not only in the Gulf South Conference, but in the nation. So I would encourage anyone listening to come out and support Union Bulldogs, Lady Bulldogs. The first game is November 4th. That's homecoming weekend. It's a scrimmage. The women will play Martin Methodist, men will play Freed. And if you can't make it, it'll be on E+ TV6 and eplustv6.com. 3:30 is the airtime. Sorry, have to kind of get that little plug in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
While you're at it, might as well plug
Bulldog Madness.
Bulldog Madness.
Yep, next Tuesday.
8 o'clock.
It's rumored at 8 o'clock.
Yep.
No. Either around 8 o'clock.
Yeah, if you're there at 8 o'clock, something's bound to be going on.
Oh, yeah.
I will say.
It's going to be a blast.
It's either going to be madness or a bunch of mad people.
Right.
Yes. Because it's not started yet.
By a bunch, I mean like roughly 16.
Yes. It's Union's not like a D1 school now, and not like Kentucky. We're not going to start it at midnight and have a midnight madness. Some people might actually be mad about that.
I think curfew here is before midnight.
Right.
So, we can't have a midnight madness. Yeah, we have to be back on campus before a certain time.
Oh, you're talking about on campus.
Yeah, they close the gates at, I think, 11:30, I think. Yeah.
That's not important, though.
Yeah, not important.
Yeah.
Point is, 8-ish o'clock, Tuesday evening.
Be there.
Be there.
All right. Thank you so much for being on the show, Logan. Yeah, we'll look forward to having you back at some point in the future.
Oh, yeah, definitely. My schedule is... Hey, it's open for you guys, 100%. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Logan. Be there for Bulldog Madness, and tune in next week for another episode of Boy Up Lines. Thanks for listening.